Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, October 18th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
stocks extend yesterday's rally on Wall Street.
Goldman Sachs wraps up bank earnings.
Liz Truss apologizes but vows to stay on as UK Prime Minister.
And the White House could release more oil from its emergency stockpile.
It was debate night in several key races, plus a new policy from the New York Sanitation Department is making the rats say, oh, rats. I'm Michael Barr. More straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees and Guardians were rained out. They'll play Game 5 at 4 o'clock today. The Rangers beat the Ducks. The Chargers beat the Broncos.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by SEI. Imagine your asset management firm's operational infrastructure as a competitive advantage. Let SEI show you how at seic.com/IMS.
U.S. futures are higher this morning. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up 40 points, Dow futures up 261, and NASDAQ futures up 144. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, the yield 4.03%, yield on the 2-year 4.46%, and NYMEX crude oil is down 0.6%. Nathan.
Well, Karen, the rise in futures follows yesterday's powerful rally on Wall Street. The S&P 500 gained 2.7%, while the tech-heavy NASDAQ surged 3.4%. David Deeds, senior investment strategist at PPAC Private Wealth, says it was only a matter of time for a bounce.
We don't know whether we've seen the bottom in this cyclical downturn, but we do know that the conditions are primed for better returns going forward. I mean, we start with the fact that we're down 25% year-to-date on the broad market, 35% on the NASDAQ. That alone should whet the appetite of all bargain hunters.
David Dietz of PPAC Private Wealth notes the S&P closed above a key technical support level yesterday.
Still, Nathan, stocks have further room to fall. That's according to the latest fund manager survey from Bank of America. The respondents expect stocks to bottom in the first half of next year after the Fed finally pivots away from hiking rates. Right now, according to the survey, investors have 6.3% of their portfolios in cash. That's the highest level since April of 2001. 49% of participants are underweight equities.
In Europe today, Karen, we're hearing from Liz Truss. The UK Prime Minister says she's sorry for going too far too fast after her new chancellor gutted most of her economic plan.
We have made mistakes. I'm sorry for those mistakes, but I've fixed the mistakes. I've appointed a new chancellor. We have restored economic stability and fiscal discipline. And what I now want to do is go on and deliver for the public.
Prime Minister Liz Truss made the comments in an interview with the BBC. One other note this morning, the Financial Times is reporting the Bank of England will likely delay its planned sale of government bonds on October 31st, but the Bank of England is refuting that report.
Well, back here in the U.S., Nathan, we wrap up earnings from the big banks today with Goldman Sachs reporting this morning. And here with the preview is Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Goldman's revenue and profit were boosted by investment gains in the third quarter last year. Bloomberg Intelligence expects to hear that the numbers were lower in the just-ended quarter, which saw a slide in banking fees and a stock market performance that likely weighed on its asset management business. Investors will be interested in what executives have to say about the future. Bloomberg reported last month that Goldman was beginning the biggest round of job cuts since the start of the pandemic. And just yesterday, Wells Fargo analyst Mike Mayo said Goldman is planning a major reorganization. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thanks. Goldman's earnings come a day after Bank of America reported its highest quarterly net interest income in at least a decade. We caught up with CEO Brian Moynihan. He says the U.S. consumer is still spending.
The credit quality and the credit quality of Bank of America in our consumer books is very strong across the board. The payment delinquencies are much lower than they were pre-pandemic, much lower than they were in any average five-best-year type period. And yes, they moved a little bit off the floor, but they're still much lower than they've been. So consumers are spending, they have money, they're employed, you can see the unemployment numbers, and they have good credit.
Bank of America CEO Brian Moynihan made the comments in an interview with Bloomberg's David Westin. Stay tuned for more of that conversation coming up shortly on Bloomberg Daybreak.
Meantime, Nathan, we're seeing many companies try to diversify their leadership ranks, but that effort could be getting harder as women leave top-tier jobs at higher rates than ever before. A report from McKinsey and leanin.org finds that for every woman who gets promoted at the director level, two women choose to leave. A lack of affordable child care is part of the reason. Also, a gender pay gap that had been narrowing before the pandemic is now stalling.
Let's turn to Washington now, Karen. The White House is watching energy prices closely, and now we're told the Biden administration's making moves to ensure the price of gas doesn't go even higher. Amy Morris has details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Energy Department officials have been quietly meeting this week with oil companies to let them know what to expect. Sources tell Bloomberg News officials are prepared to release up to 15 million barrels of oil from the nation's emergency stockpile to keep prices steady. We also expect to hear plans from the Biden administration this week about how to replenish that stockpile. Also, the administration is looking at limiting fuel exports to keep more gasoline and diesel inside the U.S., a more dramatic step that sources say would not happen before the midterms. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. And on the geopolitical stage this morning, China and Taiwan are in focus. The U.S. says Beijing could move to seize Taiwan on a much faster timeline than previously thought. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has that story.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken is responding to Xi Jinping's address to the People's Congress over the weekend. Blinken says there's been a change in the approach over the past several years toward Taiwan, but says now China's made a fundamental decision that the status quo is no longer acceptable and that Beijing is determined to pursue reunification on a much faster timeline. Having said that, Blinken says there's eagerness to cooperate on share interest, given that Xi will be serving a third term. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Ed. S&P futures now up 41 points. Dow futures up 280. NASDAQ futures are higher by 146 points. 10-year Treasury is down 6.30 seconds, yield 4.03%. And NYMEX crude is down 0.6% at $84.94 a barrel. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. 5:07 on Wall Street, 51 degrees in Central Park. Got an accident on the way to JFK Airport, southbound Van Wyck at Liberty Avenue. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York City announced a new policy meant to keep the streets cleaner and free of rats. With trash bags piled on the curbs at night, there are new rules on when you can take out the garbage. Sanitation Commissioner Jessica Tisch.
The biggest swing that you can take at cleaning up our streets is to shut down the all-night, all-you-can-eat rat buffet. I want to be clear. The rats are absolutely going to hate this announcement.
Sanitation Commissioner Tisch said buildings can put their trash out no earlier than 8 p.m., and there will be more collections overnight. New York City arts organizations, including the Metropolitan Opera, the New York Philharmonic, New York City Ballet and Carnegie Hall announced that they will make face masks optional beginning October 24th as COVID-19 cases continue to decline across the area. The group added that it will continue to encourage the practice of masking and also of vaccinations, which will remain optional as well. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp faced Democratic challenger Stacey Abrams and Libertarian candidate Shane Hazel for a televised debate sponsored by the Atlanta Press Club. Abrams speaking last night.
As governor, I intend to stand up for the right to vote. I will always acknowledge the outcome of elections, but I will never deny access to every voter because that is the responsibility of every American to defend the right to vote.
Kemp responded to Abrams' accusations of voter suppression during his time as governor.
I'm the person that created the online voter registration system in this state where any Georgian can vote, register to vote 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Abrams lost to Kemp when they first ran against each other in the 2018 race for governor. Democratic Representative Tim Ryan and Republican J.D. Vance met for their second debate to replace retiring Ohio Republican Senator Rob Portman. On NBC's WFMJ-TV, Vance accused Ryan of voting for tax increases and criticized his support for the Inflation Reduction Act.
It raises taxes by $20 billion on working people in this state and in this country, and then it seeks 87,000 IRS agents to go after them.
Ryan replied to Vance's accusing him of being a follower of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
You keep talking about Nancy Pelosi. If you want to run against Nancy Pelosi, move back to San Francisco and run against Nancy Pelosi. you're running against me.
Polls show the race has a tie. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashower.
All right, good morning, Nathan. Second time in this series where the Yankees and Guardians have been rained out at the stadium. Unlike last week when the game was called early in the afternoon. The fans were there last night, but at 9:30 they called it. So Game 5 is at 4 o'clock today. And with the day off, the Yankees are changing starting pitchers. Out is Jameson Taillon. In is Nestor Cortes on 3 days rest. The Guardians could do likewise with Shane Bieber. He was the Cy Young winner 2 years ago, but they say they are sticking with Aaron Civale. Winner today, off to Houston for Game 1 of the ALCS. Tomorrow, the surprising NLCS. Phillies and Padres starting tonight in San Diego. Two teams who failed to win 90 games will decide the pennant after three NL teams that won over 100 games, including the Mets, were ousted. Week 6 wrapped up. AFC West game in L.A. went overtime. Chargers beat the Broncos 19-16, third straight win for L.A. Denver is 2-4. The Jets visit the Broncos on Sunday. Only one AFC team has a better record than the Jets. At the Garden, Rangers and Ducks. Good start for the Blue Shirts, especially with the man advantage.
Aaron stick handling. Backs it up. Looks towards the net. Down low. Krochak across. Zibanejad shoots. He scores! It was Zibanejad setting up Krochak for the first power play goal. This time, Krochak to Zibanejad. 2-0 Rangers.
Kenny Albert, 98.7 ESPN. Later, Zibanejad scored another power play goal. Rangers beat Anaheim 6-4. They're off to a 3-1 start. NBA season tips off tonight with a couple of games. Knicks and Nets both get going tomorrow. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. S&P futures right now up 40 points. Dow futures up 273. NASDAQ futures are higher by 141 points. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather. It's going to be cool for the next few days. Upper 50s today, mid 50s and sunny tomorrow. Sunshine, upper 50s on Thursday. Right now, 51 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and stocks are extending a rebound amid a focus on earnings. And as the UK's efforts to foster greater stability in its volatile bond market lift sentiment toward riskier assets, European stocks are stretching their gains into a fourth day, while U.S. stock index futures are advancing. This after the S&P 500 closed above a key technical support level yesterday. Amazon and Microsoft are leading major technology and internet stocks higher in early trading. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up about 42 points. Dow futures up 278 and NASDAQ futures up 150. The DAX in Germany is up 1.2%. The 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 4.02%. And the yield on the 2-year is at 4.45%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.5% or 41 cents at $85.05 a barrel. And the euro 0.9849. against the dollar. The British pound, 1.1320. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Ukrainian President Zelensky says his country needs more help to defend itself from the Iranian-made so-called kamikaze drones the Russian army has been using to attack civilian infrastructure. At least 8 people were killed during yesterday's strikes. A suspected serial killer in Stockton, California is scheduled to be arraigned today. Authorities say 43-year-old Wesley Brownlee is accused of terrorizing the community for months. In baseball, the Yankees and Guardians will play their deciding Game 5 of their ALDS this afternoon, 4 p.m. Rain postponed last night's game. Monday Night Football Chargers beat the Broncos in overtime 19-16. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Bank earnings have been the theme the last few days. Yesterday, of course, Bank of America reported results that beat estimates. Now, we want to hear from the man in charge of that bank, CEO Brian Moynihan. He tells us even though spending is slowing, the consumer remains strong. Brian Moynihan spoke with Bloomberg's David Westin late yesterday. Let's listen into that conversation now.
You've said the consumer is strong, continues to be strong. I think you said 10% up perhaps from what you saw in October. But how long can it last? You have some competitors saying by the middle of next year, they're going to run out of those balance sheets.
Let's step back and talk about the different ways we talk about resiliency. First is, are the consumers spending? Are they doing things that drives the U.S. economy, as you well know? And so the spending for the third quarter was 10% higher than it was last year's third quarter. The spending for the first couple weeks in October is 10% higher than it was last October for the first 2 weeks. Now, what we told people was you're seeing it slow just a hair. So it was maybe 14, 15% early in the year, 12, and now 10, which is frankly what people are trying to do is get the spending down a little bit, get the inflationary pressures down and the drag of the interest rates. But it's still strong. And then so that's one way to think about it. The other way to think about the consumers, do they have money in their accounts to spend? And in the month of September, the account balances were flat or slightly over where they were in August. And that is multiples of where they were pre-pandemic, and they continue to hold their own. And you can see inside the cash flow in customers, not making any reflection on their, this is tough on certain customers, others, but even when customers have lower income levels, we can see them cash flowing positive still. Rent increases could slow that down, other things could happen. But the core thing is, as of the third quarter, they continue to cash flow, and they continue to have more money in their accounts than they did before the pandemic by multiples. And then you go to their credit quality, and the credit quality of Bank of America in our consumer books is very strong across the board. The payment delinquencies are much lower than they were pre-pandemic, much lower than they were in any average five-best-year type period. And yes, they moved a little bit off the floor, but they're still much lower than they've been. So consumers are spending, they have money, they're employed, you can see the unemployment numbers, and they have good credit. And that's good news for America, but it also makes the Fed's job tougher because they're trying to slow down this American consumer, which is a very resilient thing.
But just to make sure I understand it, and obviously you can't promise what's going to happen next year. I'm not asking you to do that. But a lot of economists are saying the reason consumer is so strong right now is because the balance sheet were so strong coming out of the pandemic. At this point, you don't see those balance sheets really turning down as we get into next year.
We don't see it yet. And so if you look back to, 2 quarters ago when we did the earnings call, people are like, oh, the consumer is getting knocked out of the game. They're spending their accounts. 6 months later, the money's still there. So I think people are over-anticipating the future. We, as our projections, Canada Brownless Platt and the team in our research group, which is one of the best in the world, has the third quarter positive, the fourth quarter negative, the first quarter negative, the second quarter of 23 negative, and the third quarter of 23 negative, albeit at like a 1 to 1.5% GDP annualized growth rate, negative growth rate. So we are predicting a shallow economy. That's our core assumptions. And embedded in that, if you look at how we set our reserves, we have the assumption that we're going to have 5.5% unemployment. I'm not sure that's going to happen, especially this quarter. We have it at 5%, but that's the conservatives when we build our balance sheet from an operating basis. But if you look at the consumers, there's not the signs that we see in our numbers or other people's numbers, quite frankly. It says they're slowing down yet or they're in stress yet. And that will have to be part of what happens in order for there to be a deep recession, because if the consumers have money in this big consumer-driven economy, you know, that's what keeps America strong.
Brian, you've always taken great pride in the Bank of America research unit and how good they are. Let's assume their numbers are exactly right. It could be better, could be worse, exactly right. Three down quarters, 5.5% unemployment. What does that do for your loan loss provisions? What kind of provisions do you have to make for that?
Well, inherently, we're always discounting the future because the way the CECL rules work, so-called, you look out for the life of loans. So you build reserves, and we built $400 million or so this quarter, which is building that scenario, which is 60% to the base case, which is the average of blue-chip economists, and 40% to an adverse case. And when you blend that together, it implies those average cases have high inflation and have high unemployment in them. And you blend it together, the core what we did at the end of the third quarter has 5% unemployment for the fourth quarter of 22 and more than like 5.5% for next year. So it's very conservatively built. So your provisions will go up against that backdrop. At one point, you'll start to see the other side of it emerge, and that's what sort of happened back in the pandemic. We put up a lot of reserves, and we took them back in once you saw that the impact of, because what the administration did and what Congress did and what the central banks did around the world, you actually mitigate the effects of the unemployment numbers. That won't happen in a standard recession, I would expect. But on the other hand, the consumers are going in much stronger shape than they did even in 2006-07, leading into the great financial crisis.
And that was Bank of America CEO Brian Moynihan speaking with Bloomberg's David Westin. You can catch the full conversation online at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. S&P futures right now up 37 points. Dow futures are higher by 248, and NASDAQ futures on the rise by 139 points.
10-year Treasury is down 2/32 seconds now. The yield 4.02%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, clearing, cooler today, upper 50s for highs, sunny mid 50s tomorrow, sunshine into Thursday with highs back in the upper 50s to around 60 degrees. Right now, 51 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are rising, adding to yesterday's big rally. The S&P posted a gain of 2.5% in Monday's session, while the Nasdaq rose 3.4%. Still expect more volatility ahead. That's according to Samir Samana with Wells Fargo.
What I'd really like to see is for this market to try and find kind of a bottom. And from that standpoint, just maybe even trade sideways for a few days. I think these, you know, constant 2 to 3% up and down days, I think, are continuing to spook investors. I think maybe the best course of action for markets from here, given what the Fed's trying to engineer, is just to go sideways for a few days.
Wells Fargo's Samir Samana says daily swings of 2 to 3% indicate fragility in the market.
Overseas, Karen, the UK government's trying to continue calming markets after a tough first month for Liz Truss. The new prime minister tells the BBC she is sorry for going too far too fast on her economic plan.
We have made mistakes. I'm sorry for those mistakes, but I've fixed the mistakes. I've appointed a new chancellor. We have restored economic stability and fiscal discipline. And what I now want to do is go on and deliver for the public.
Liz Truss tells the BBC she plans to keep serving as prime minister. One other note, the Financial Times is reporting the Bank of England will likely delay its planned sale of government bonds on October 31st, but the BOE is refuting that report.
Back here in the U.S., Nathan, big banks wrap up earnings with Goldman Sachs reporting this morning. Then it's big tech in focus when we get earnings from Netflix in the afternoon, and Bloomberg's Tom Busby has a preview.
The key for the streaming video pioneer, which just announced the debut of a cheaper ad-supported version on November 2nd, is whether it returned to subscriber growth thanks to hits like Squid Game, Inventing Anna, and Dahmer after shedding a ton of subscribers in the first half of this year. Estimates call for 1 million more paying customers added in the third quarter, led by additions in the Asia-Pacific and Latin America regions, and on a crackdown in password sharing. Tom Busby, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Tom. Let's turn to politics now, where the White House is watching energy prices closely. Sources tell us the Biden administration is preparing to release up to 15 million barrels of oil from the nation's emergency stockpile to help keep prices steady. Checking prices now, NYMEX crude's down 0.5% at $85.01 a barrel.
And on the geopolitical stage this morning, Nathan, China and Taiwan are in focus. Secretary of State Antony Blinken say Beijing is making plans to seize Taiwan on a faster timeline than previously thought. That assessment comes as China holds its Communist Party Congress this week. Futures are higher. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 5:33 on Wall Street, 50 degrees in Central Park. Heavy delays on the southbound New York State Thruway to the Spring Valley tolls. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. Rat complaints in New York City are up 71% in the last year. City officials are now changing garbage collection rules. Instead of being allowed to pile trash bags on the curbs the day before pickup, people will have to put out the trash no earlier than 8 p.m. New York Sanitation Commissioner Jessica Tisch.
Why have we tolerated this for so long? Over the last 6 months, the Department of Sanitation has reoriented itself around one goal, getting our streets cleaner faster.
Commissioner Tisch says the rats are absolutely going to hate this announcement. Georgia Republican Governor Brian Kemp and Democrat Stacey Abrams clashed in the first of two debates of their closely watched rematch at an Atlanta Press Club event last night that also included Libertarian candidate Shane Hazel. Kemp painted Abrams as soft on crime and tied her repeatedly with President Joe Biden and the nation's economic woes.
My desire is to continue to help them fight through 40-year high inflation and high gas prices and other things that our Georgia families are facing right now, quite honestly, because of bad policies in Washington, D.C., from President Biden and the Democrats that have complete control.
Abrams portrayed Kemp as out of touch with Georgians' priorities and criticized him for backing tougher anti-abortion restrictions and looser gun laws.
He has weakened gun laws and flooded our streets. He has weakened our privacy rights and our and women's rights. He has denied women the access to reproductive care.
In 2018, Abrams came close to winning the governor's race against Kemp. The State Department says the U.S. will take action against companies and nations working with Iran's drone program after Russia used them for deadly kamikaze strikes in Kyiv. Ukraine's prime minister says the latest Russian attack knocked out power to hundreds of towns and villages as the country prepares for winter. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stanshauer.
Thanks, Nathan. The Yankees and Guardians and a sellout crowd all at the stadium last night for a 7 o'clock start, but at 9:30, the rain had not stopped. The decisive Game 5 was postponed to 4 o'clock today. Aaron Boone was asked about playing a do-or-die game.
To this time of year, you're playing for, there's a ton on the line, and you're playing for it, and hopefully, you know, you find that awesome. You know, that you, and I think our guys do realize that that's a great opportunity. With that comes some nerves and things you got to deal with.
Boone is changing his starting pitcher now that Nestor Cortes has 3 days rest. He'll start, not Jameson Taillon. The Guardians say they are sticking with Aaron Civale instead of using Shane Bieber. It's the NLCS. No one expected. The Phillies finished in third place in the NL East. They were the last team to get in. The Padres had to beat two 100-plus win teams, the Mets and Dodgers, and yet it's the Padres and Phillies, game one tonight in San Diego. Another NFL primetime game without a lot of touchdowns. Chargers and Broncos both scored one, combined for 7 field goals. L.A. kicked one late in overtime after Denver fumbled the punt. The Chargers won 19-16. Cowboys and Dolphins both expect their starting quarterbacks to return on Sunday. Dak Prescott from the thumb injury, Tua Tagovailoa from the concussion. Meanwhile, Washington QB Carson Wentz has a broken finger. He'll miss the next 4 to 6 weeks. At the Garden, Rangers improved to 3-1. They beat Anaheim 6-4. 2 goals for Mika Zibanejad, both on the power play. Artemi Panarin, a goal, 3 assists. It's early in the year, but Panarin leads the NHL in scoring. The NBA season tips off tonight. John Stashauer, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
John, thanks. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Wendy Gillette.
New Jersey's casinos and horse tracks offering sports betting were big winners last month. They raked in nearly $485 million, up nearly 7% compared to a year earlier. In-person winnings totaled $252 million, up more than 1% compared to before the pandemic. A controversy involving late-night talk show host James Corden and New York City restaurant Balthazar has been resolved. Restaurateur Keith McNally took to Instagram to complain about Corden's bad behavior towards staff, accusing him of being abusive to servers. He banned him from the eatery. But then Corden called with a profuse apology and all was forgiven. McNally posted again saying the ban is lifted. And BD, a medical technology company based in Franklin Lakes, New Jersey, has signed an agreement with Paris-based medical device and delivery systems manufacturer Biocore to use connected technology to track adherence for self-administered drug therapies. That's the Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Wendy Gillette.
Thanks, Wendy. 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio's on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm talking about Boeing offering 737 MAX jets once bound for China to Air India as the plane maker tries to unload some of the roughly 140 planes it's not allowed to deliver to China.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. The White House is said to be planning an oil reserve release announcement this week.
I'm Steve Potisk on WFLA Tampa Bay. We're talking about how a historic building has been saved as it will be part of a new development.
I'm Caroline Hepcorn, Bloomberg DAB, digital radio in London. We've been speaking to the mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, about the state of policing in the capital and his fears about blackouts this winter.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. Russia's efforts to use natural gas exports as a geopolitical weapon present Europe with a challenge. When faced with such a threat, can it muster the solidarity required of a true union? After all, Vladimir Putin's energy cutoff is a classic external shock that will hurt some European countries more than others. No doubt, efforts to expand risk-sharing will face strong political headwinds. But at the very least, the EU should be able to establish a permanent fund to provide loans and grants in emergencies. Ultimately, what's needed is a central fiscal authority with its own revenue source and the power to spend when needed to mitigate asymmetric shocks. If a hybrid war with Russia can't bring the EU to even consider such a possibility, it's hard to imagine what will. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPINGO. Futures moving higher this morning. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather clearing, cooler today. Highs in the upper 50s. Tomorrow, sunny, mid-50s. Will be sunny Thursday as well. Upper 50s to around 60 degrees. Right now, 50 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and stocks are trimming their advance. The pound, the UK gilts are weakening after the Bank of England said a report that is likely to delay the sale of government bonds until the market has calmed was inaccurate. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures, they're still higher, up 39 points. Dow futures up 252, and NASDAQ futures up 147. The DAX in Germany is up 0.9%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 4.03%. The yield on the 2-year 4.45%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.6% or 49 cents at $84.97 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.5% or $7.90 at $16.56 an ounce. The euro 0.9837 against the dollar. British pound 1.1288 and the yen 149. The Bitcoin this morning, it's down about 0.1%. It's at $19,500. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Airstrikes have again pounded energy and infrastructure facilities in Ukraine, part of an apparent quickening effort by Russia to drive Ukrainians into the cold and dark. One mayor west of the capital said all of the city was without electricity and water after a double missile strike today. Both sides are concerned about the economy and inflation for the midterm elections. However, polls show Democrats are motivated by issues like abortion. For Republicans, issues like public safety, crime, and immigration are driving them to the polls. In baseball, after last night's rainout, the Yankees and Guardians will play their deciding Game 5 of their ALDS this afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Monday Night Football, the Chargers beat the Broncos in OT 19-16. In hockey, the Rangers, Bruins, and Capitals all won. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 5:49 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak on a morning where we're waiting for one more big Wall Street bank to report third quarter earnings. Goldman Sachs fleshes out the financials picture for us when it opens its books before the opening bell. Joining us now is Shanali Basak, global finance correspondent for Bloomberg News. And of course, Shanali, the big news coming into this earnings is CEO David Solomon's latest reorganization. What more could we hear about that once the books get open today?
What a grand finale to the big six bank earnings, truly. First of all, the numbers themselves will be interesting, but also the reorganization. It's going to be interesting to see how much detail he actually gives. There's been a lot reported over the last 24 hours about new business lines that would be formed. Does that change the reporting structure? Does he set new targets? targets today, or does he set them into next year, which is more likely given typically these banks set expectations at the beginning of the year for investors? And are any of his initial plans, especially for that consumer business, going to change?
Now, whatever I think about reorganization, Shanali, I think about, is this going to save a company money? I mean, how much of an issue is cost control for Goldman Sachs?
What's interesting about that is Goldman Sachs is running more efficiently than some of its peers, namely Morgan Stanley. Morgan Stanley has made a couple of acquisitions, so their efficiency ratio is higher. However, investors have been rewarding Morgan Stanley in a much bigger way. They're actually the richest when you look at how they're trading compared to book value of all the big six banks. So investors really like that wealth business. They really like the acquisitions James Gorman has made and the strategy he's outlined. Goldman, however, is trading below book value, and so is cheaper than both JP Morgan and Morgan Stanley. So there's something that he needs to do, David Solomon needs to do, to really change investors' perspectives here about the direction of travel for Goldman Sachs.
How much change of perspective do you think we're going to get from the earnings that are going to be reported this morning? Which aspects of the banking business are we expecting are going to be doing well? Which units are underperforming, do we think?
Goldman Sachs does what Goldman Sachs does best, which is investment banking and trading. So the expectations are very interesting. If they don't beat those expectations or at least come in line, I think investors would be a little bit disappointed because they tend to be so competitive. And they are combining investment banking and trading under one business under this reorg. So with that said, what about the rest of it? Asset, wealth, and consumer. How do you set expectations around how well those businesses are supposed to be in a tough macroeconomic environment and the type of investment that they're willing to put in the business? Again, Goldman's efficiency is better than peers. This quarter alone, they're supposed to bring in returns on equity that are lower than Morgan Stanley has reported. But let's see if they punch above their weight, and let's see if investors reward that. This cycle, investors have been rewarding the big consumer businesses, not the investment banks. And of course, Goldman Sachs doesn't have that big consumer business that is benefiting from this wave of higher interest rates.
Although we did get that word just before this earnings comes out that Goldman's going to be starting this new high-yield savings account with Apple. Could that help to bolster the consumer side and give them a little more market share, perhaps?
It's interesting. At this point, it's not market share that investors are clamoring for. It's profitability. And the thing about it is, yes, Goldman Sachs has some of the most competitive savings rates out there, but that comes at a cost. And so they have very interesting partnerships. General Motors, Apple. Apple has been expanding their partnership. Apple has been very selective about its financial partners. And so in theory, it would give Goldman a competitive edge to get that close to a big tech company with such huge financial ambitions. But if you do have such a high savings rate, you're paying for that. And investors right now are not thrilled about the trajectory of the profitability at that consumer bank.
All right, we're going to get a lot more details. 7:30 Wall Street time is when we're expecting Goldman Sachs to open its books, and it is going to be a very interesting conference call with so much news flow coming in on this company ahead of these earnings. Shanali Basak, global financial correspondent for Bloomberg News, thanks as always for keeping us on top of what's happening in that sector. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It is brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
American Airlines passengers asked a federal court for preliminary approval of a deal that would fully refund baggage fees to customers who had been promised they could check their luggage at no cost. A state judge in Maryland voided the state's one-of-a-kind tax on digital advertising, ruling that it violates the U.S. Constitution and a federal law protecting many forms of online commerce from taxation. Abortion providers in North Carolina asked a state trial court to block enforcement of a law mandating that only doctors can prescribe pills to induce abortion.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Jeff, thank you. Now another legal news that we're watching this morning. The January 6th committee voted to subpoena Donald Trump to testify and provide documents about his actions on January 6th. For more, Bloomberg's David Westin spoke with Case Western Law professor Jonathan Adler about the possibility of the former president actually testifying.
Well, I think that really depends on whether or not the committee and Trump are willing to come to an agreement or able to come to an agreement. There is precedent for a committee subpoenaing a former president and that person testifying, but that testament, that precedent was 1846 when a former president agreed to testify or complied with the subpoena. In this case, because it's the fall of 2022 and we expect Congress to change or the House of Representatives to change hands in the coming election, there's not a lot of time for legal wrangling. So if former President Trump were to resist the subpoena, it's quite likely that he would be able to run out the clock. So it really depends on whether or not he wants to take this opportunity to put out his side of the events of January 6th, or he doesn't.
So that suggests that it might well be that it's more the court of public opinion that the committee is really trying to appeal to rather than a judicial court. There is, however, a judicial proceeding in Florida, obviously involving all those documents that were seized pursuant to a search warrant. And now the former president has taken up to the Supreme Court the question of exactly who gets access to review some of the classified documents. Tell us about that proceeding, because it got a lot of attention. I must say my reaction was I was not very, very surprised at the Supreme Court's ruling, which did not have a dissent attached to sort of a simple order.
No, I mean, the indications were that the Supreme Court was not going to take an interest in this. So after taking some time to file something, Trump's attorneys ultimately did file a motion with the Supreme Court seeking to vacate at least part of the 11th Circuit's decision. The Supreme Court didn't act right away. They gave the Justice Department a week to respond. A very clear indication the court didn't think it was urgent. Not at all surprised that the court, without any noted dissent, declined to grant that application.
And that's Case Western Law Professor Jonathan Adler speaking with Bloomberg's David Westin. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. Futures this morning are on the rise. S&P futures up 45 points. Dow futures up 287. NASDAQ futures up 172. 10-year Treasury down 3/32. Yield 4.02%. And the yield on the 2-year, 4.45%. NYMEX crude oil this morning moving lower, down about a third of a percent or 32 cents at $85.14 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.4%. Still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. And this is Bloomberg.